earlier we spoke to Khadija Davids, and you know, it's very difficult. You know, my mom always shouts me, and especially when you're going on assignments and you're going to a dangerous place or when there's a protest, and it's like, be careful, be careful. Yeah, yes, mom, yes, I'll be careful. You know, it's difficult. It unfortunately, it comes with the job of being a journalist. You go to conflict zones and you go into places, you know, at union buildings. When I was there, it was absolutely dangerous, police firing rubber bullets. And you know, as a parent, you worry about your child. It is your child, after all. You spend years bringing them up, and it won't differ from parent to parent. It's all the same. So to give us some perspective of how she felt when her daughter was on that particular ship that was on route to Gaza to break the siege, you know, Khadija's mother, Mehbuba Davids, will you know, shed some light on how she felt. Mehbuba, assalamu alaikum, jazakallah for your time this afternoon. How did you feel when you got the news that the Mavi Marmara was taken over by Israeli commandos with Khadija on board?
Yes, shukran for the interview, brother. And assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh to your listeners. You know, brother, again, I've been asked this question so many times, but every time when I do have to answer that, I do experience these emotions that I, you know, what that I felt. You know, the time when the news actually broke that morning, it was about 6 o'clock in the morning.
Yes.
When Radio 7, its 6 station manager actually phoned us to say that the boat that Khadija was on was actually attacked by Zionists. And, you know, I'm still thinking what went through my mind, you know, and I'm trying really to, what I want to say is that it's every time an emotional experience. But the picture that I actually got in my mind is when the men made mention of the attack.
Yes.
Was what she sketched the night before.
Yes.
When we spoke to her Sunday evening. And she said that they actually sort of went through an exercise earlier, and they were actually asked to sleep in their clothes and also keep their life jackets on. And that was the last that we heard from her. But, you know, fatal shootings was not in my mind.
Yes.
When I heard about the attack, I thought maybe they were just going to be diverted and also stopped from going to Gaza, but never ever thinking that they will, that there will be a sort of major killings, you know, and 10 people will be martyred. But like I say, we actually felt that our hands were tied, and also we're here in Cape Town. What can we do? This is the news that we just received now. But, you know, so for me, it was just like putting my faith in Allah.
Yes.
And to think that Allah, but she has gone on a good cause. She went with a good intention to actually sort of take aid to the Gaza people. So if something should happen to her, that may Allah Ta'ala protect them, you know, and further perhaps, you know, guide her.
Yes.
But also you fear the worst as well. You know, and that for me is something I'm still trying to fathom with. The mere fact that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has granted her back, and she could be a witness to all the killings that happened and the events that happened from the 31st of May and further on.
Yes.
For me, it is such a blessing, you know, that she can actually sort of come back and tell the world, you know, what Zionist Israel is all about, you know, and the how can I say, it is every time, you know, a daunting experience when you actually sort of have to talk about it.
Yes.
Because you can't ever think that it's humans that can do this to humanity.
Of course.
Yeah. So that for us is that, you know, the achievement today at the press briefing to have learned that they will be extradited should they step actually onto South African soil is truly a victory, you know, and a first step in the right direction. You know, if they could actually sort of, the Zionist state of Israel could actually shame the world for the Palestinian people and the oppressed, you know, this is now for them also a lesson to be learned, that we can shame the world for them as well.
Of course.
You know?
Khadija was telling me this afternoon when we were at the press briefing that you seem to be a little stronger, you know, when it comes to these kind of news. You supported her, but her father seems to be a little bit more sort of soft-hearted, and he didn't take the news of the ship being attacked as very as well as you did.
Maybe because we are sort of in the myself being sort of being public relations officer of the Islamic Unity Foundation,
yes,
we are used to the media and talking to the media.
Yeah.
It made it easier for me to be able to speak to have interviews with people.
Mm-hmm.
My husband, though, even though it was very sad when he heard about about Khadija and what happened on the Mavi Marmara,
yes,
he also felt, you know, that his hands were tied, and he was actually very sad about the happening, but felt also that feeling hopeless also. That so in the end we made a decision that we have to leave everything in Allah's hands, right? And he actually sort of prevented me from going, you know, to going on TV and not, he was actually sort of a bit, but he felt awkward because he, in a sense that he didn't want my face to be on TV.
Of course, yeah.
And he felt that I will be a target also here in Cape Town.
Yes.
So this is the thing that we actually went through. Should I take the interview or should I not take the interview?
Mm.
Because the news was actually, Khadija was so in demand. And I mean, Khadija was the news for the next 5 days since it happened.
Of course, yes.
So every media house practically sort of phoned us and wanted to know, you know, what was happening and where she is, not is her condition, is she okay, you know, and things like that.
Yes, yes.
So, and I must really thank everybody for the way they handled the interviews, the empathy that we received, the community from South Africa, how they responded to the events, I think it brought people together, you know, and because she was so young, she was the youngest, I think, on the boat. It was the first maiden flight
Yes, yes.
First time away from home, so it's the first work for many things.
Of course.
You see, and but I must commend her for her courage.
Absolutely.
After now, we have learned,
yes,
that she could actually sort of stand up to occupy and say, I want legal representation, you see.
Now, ma'am, moving on, just I want to touch on some of the other points or other questions we went along. One of the most important or pertinent points you made today, and I think it sort of touched a lot of people that were sitting there, you said at the press conference that for 5 days you got to feel how Palestinians feel every day. Tell us how you go through those days, or how did you go through those days knowing that whether your daughter will not make it back home, given these you know, the ruthlessness of the Israeli Defense Force and the Navy that was taking place in the Mediterranean.
Brother, I'm still thinking how we managed. But I truly see that there was a higher power involved.
Of course.
And Allah Ta'ala has given us the strength really to carry. Allah Ta'ala really carried us during those 5 days. I must say really that the Tuesday night, Monday morning it happened.
Yes.
The Tuesday night was the first time that we heard from her again.
Of course, yeah.
And but only for 2 seconds. Saying I'm okay, I'm coming home.
That's the only
thing that she shared with us. But the Wednesday it was actually sort of very bad when we learned that they were sort of taken to Ashdod. But from there we didn't know where they were.
Of course.
So the unknown, fearing, you know, not knowing where they were and what condition they were in and how they were treated. That was actually sort of the most trying time.
Yes.
That we actually went through. But so grateful for the support that we got from the community. And then I think one of the people in Cape Town organized a march. And actually journalists came to tell her that they were chanting her name in the streets. Release Khadija.
Yes.
Khadija. So it was like that kind of support that we really appreciated.
Of course. Now,
yeah.
And another question that comes to mind, and obviously we know that a mother's love towards her children are unconditional. She'll go to the ends of the world for them. Now, how do you feel now that the decision to issue warrants for arrest for the Israeli commandos is a reality? I'm going to be a bit brutal here. Sometimes a mother's emotion just comes out, especially when her children are involved. So the question that comes, and maybe you can expound a little bit on that, do you hate them? Do you hate these guys for what they did?
I cannot have that hate in my heart, my brother.
Yes.
Because, you know, Allah Ta'ala will deal with
them. Of course, yes.
In his way.
Mm.
But what I do hate is their actions.
Yes.
I cannot hate them as a human being,
mm.
But I hate them for what they are doing. I hate what they are doing to humanity. You know, and that is for me the crux of the thing.
Mm.
Because to carry hatred in one's heart, it's very damaging. You know, but justice must prevail.
Yes, of course.
They must be brought to book. They must be held accountable for what they have done. You know, a life is a life, and all life is sacred.
Yes.
You know, whether it's me or you or whoever, we are all created, you know, Allah. So we, all our lives, our blood is sacred. So if we all, I mean, it has to be respected. It has to be honored.
Of course.
So what gives another human being the right to take the life of another without just cause?
Right. I've spoken to Khadija this afternoon, and she seems more enthusiastic than ever to possibly embark on another flotilla trap if the opportunity arises. Will you send Khadija on another flotilla campaign if she wants to go?
I think we will. She will have our blessing to go.
Yes.
Yes, because I know she's conscious of what she's doing.
Yes.
And she's clear in what she's doing, and it's clear about her intention. So I will really, because Allah Ta'ala is the giver of life and
of
the taker
of
life. So we might as well, if Allah Ta'ala should take us away from this dunya, it's best that we die for a cause and die as a victim. Right.
And yeah. Any final message to the listeners of Radio Islam Mehbooba? Obviously, a lot of our listeners, we broadcasted the press conference live from Constitutional Hill. A lot of people have been touched by Khadija's ordeal that she suffered on the Mabi Mamara. Any message to the listeners of Radio Islam that they can take a lesson out of this experience?
Brother, what I can say to the business is that we should keep up with the divestment boycott.
Yes.
And it's in every which way we can, but really show our support for Palestine. You know, and whatever it now means. And if you say we give our love, our blood, and our soul for Palestine, what do we really mean by
that?
Saying that? You see, so whatever we can in any way that we can, we must. So these lawyers that worked so hard to come to this particular point, they use their skills, you know, to bring about justice. We need also we need to pool all our resources, when it comes to funding or when it comes to skills or whatever resources we can get together and pull together to bring about justice. So I feel people need to continue with the boycotts. And also look at, really, because we feel that economic boycott is actually the most successful. It has shown success in the past, and we must really sort of keep on with that.
Mehbooba, jazakallah for your time this afternoon, and may Osmanullah continue to assist and bless you and Khadija with his infinite mercy, and make it easy for you, inshallah.
Inshallah. Shukran kathir, brother, for the interview.
Assalamu alaikum
wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah.